Probably many people would say that they're not committing the crime of robbery, but they are having trouble with failing to give an honest day's work for their employer. Maybe they're cheating people in business or even withholding marital love. If they, or even you, are guilty of breaking the Eighth Commandment, what should you do? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today. If you've been with us all this month, you know that we're on a commandment-by-commandment study of the Ten Commandments in Pastor Jeff's new series, Written in Stone. In today's lesson, Pastor Jeff shares five ways that we do steal and how we can make a better choice daily to live a life of integrity and generosity as we learn to obey the Eighth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal. Now, the lesson today is called What's Yours is Mine. And if you missed any of this part one, you can listen again online at fromhisheart.org after it's aired. And we'll have part two tomorrow. Just click the Listen tab. Right now, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Here again is Pastor Jeff to begin the lesson.
George Barna did a survey of the Ten Commandments. He asked a bunch of adults about the Ten Commandments. When it came to the Eighth Commandment, you shall not steal, 86% of the adults surveyed said, now that's a commandment that I keep. I do not steal. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I feel good about this one. Man, I keep this commandment. So 86% say, I fulfill the Eighth Commandment. So let's look at five ways that people break the Eighth Commandment. The first way people break it is the obvious way. It's the way most of us think about this commandment. We steal by committing the crime of robbery. And when people say, you know, you shall not steal, they say, yeah, I don't do that. I mean, they think of stealing. You put on a mask and you get a gun and you go to the bank and you rob the bank or you rob the liquor store or you rob the drugstore or you rob the convenience store, or at night you break into somebody's house and you rob that person and that person's house, you ransack the place. We think of that as stealing. That's breaking the Eighth Commandment, and it is, obviously. But that's not all that it is. And things were going on in Israel like that. Ezekiel 22, verse 9, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery. To take away by violence. That's the word there in the Hebrew. That's what that means, practice robbery. And they have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. And God was pointing out their sins in Ezekiel 22. One of their sins was you're robbing people. You're taking by violence what doesn't belong to you. Now, in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 21, we have the picture of King Ahab. Remember, he wanted to buy Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth wasn't selling the vineyard. It's not for sale, King Ahab, and Ahab became very vexed and forlorn, and he was sad and didn't want to eat, and his wife says, what's wrong with you, Ahab? And he says, well, Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. She said, are you not the king? We don't have to buy his vineyard. We can take his vineyard. And if you know the story of Naboth and Jezebel, Jezebel spread lies about Naboth, and they brought all these people together and they said, Naboth has cursed God and the king, and they ended up stoning Naboth, a righteous man. They stoned him, took him out of the way, and then she said to her husband, hey, Naboth's dead, go take his vineyard. The prophet met Ahab in Naboth's vineyard, and he said, have you murdered and also taken possession? He broke the seventh commandment and the eighth commandment. He took by violence what did not belong to him. So we steal by doing that. Second way, because hopefully most of us would say, well, I don't have a ski mask and a gun that I put on and go rob banks. You know, we think about those kinds of things. So most of us say, hey, I'm doing pretty good on the first way. How about the second way? We steal by failing to give an honest day's work. Say, preacher, let's go back to number one, because I feel a lot better about that one. But we have that phrase, an honest day's wage for an honest day's work. Now, this is a heart check for us. to see, am I stealing from my employer? My employer is buying my time and buying my expertise. Am I giving my employer what they're paying for? Or am I cheating my employer? Am I mailing it in, so to speak, giving half-hearted effort, taking lots of extra time on personal business and not work-related things? Colossians chapter 3 says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Ever heard that expression, when the cat's away, the mice will play? And people in different jobs, you know, if the boss is there, then they're working hard because the boss is there. He's walking around, he's looking at things. But when the cat's away, then the mice will play and the work doesn't get done. Why? Well, there's nobody here to watch us. But see, for a believer, well, we know that God sees everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And we're not working for our boss per se, we're working for the Lord. And so we know that God sees us, and we want to work hard because we work for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Here's a good question to ask yourself as it relates to your job. If you were the employer, if you were the owner, and you had an employee just like you that worked the way you do, would you be pleased with that person or displeased? If everybody worked in the company as hard as you work, how would the company do? Now, when we hire people at the church, we talk about the C's. We want to have a person for ministerial purposes. You have to have a calling. Hey, tell us about your call to the ministry. How has God called you to do this? Because the ministry is a wonderful calling. It's a terrible profession. You have to be called to do it. So we talk about calling. We talk about character, that you're a person of godly character. We talk about competence. You have to be competent in things. So if we're going to hire a worship pastor, he's got to be able to do the job. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket and you don't know anything about music, well, let's make him the worship pastor. Well, he's not going to be any good at that, right? So you have to have competence. And then you have to have chemistry. You have to get along well. You have to fit in well. Sometimes you can have, on a sports team, you can have a player that's a really good player, but not good chemistry on the team, and creates dissension in the locker room. It's like, we don't want that kind of guy. And so for me personally, it's like, when we hire somebody, I want that person to have an internal drive to serve the Lord and to do a good job, knowing that it's the Lord Christ whom they serve. If we have to have somebody that needs to be micromanaged, this isn't the place for them, because we don't want to micromanage anybody. We expect you, here's your job, we expect you to do it with all your might. So we steal by failing to give an honest day's work. Third way, we steal by cheating people in business dealings. We're dishonest. You know, there, when I was in college, I took a business law class for my degree. And I'll still remember my professor, who's a Christian guy, and he taught me about two Latin phrases. There's caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. And then there's caveat venditor, let the seller beware. And when you deal with dishonest people, a dishonest merchant, let the buyer beware, or a dishonest buyer, let the seller beware. Both of those are dealing with thieves and dishonest people, and so you have to be careful. Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 10 says this, differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord. You say, yeah, what, I've read that before. What does that mean, differing weights and differing measures? Well, people in Bible times, they would have stones, a stone weight. And so when you would do business with them, they would have a scale, because you would pay in copper or silver or gold, and they would have a scale to know how much you were supposed to pay, how much silver to pay. And so they would have a stone that they would put on the other side of the scale to balance it out, to figure out, okay, well, you owe me this much. Well, they would use a differing stone. If they were buying something, they were the merchant buying from a wholesaler, they would want to use a different weighted stone to their benefit. If they were selling, then they would use a lighter stone so that it would be to their benefit. Differing weights, differing measures. It's cheating people. Both of them are an abomination to the Lord. How long has this been going on? It's been going on for a long time because men have learned from early on in their sin nature how to cheat other people in business. We cheat people in business. We say, well, that's just good business. Is it good business to cheat? Would you want that deal? You know, business needs to be win-win. I sell you a product that's a good product, that's a win for you and a win for me because you paid a fair price for it. I didn't try and take your head off on this sale, and I'm not selling you junk, and you're not paying me with counterfeit money or trying to pay me, you know, the lowest dollar you can possibly pay. It's a win-win. Interesting, I was doing some research, and archaeologists found in Israel, they found that this stone that the merchants would use for their business deals, they found one that had two marks on it. And they said those marks were for grams. And a two gerar, it was is the Hebrew word, and a two gerar stone was supposed to weigh 1.14 grams. And they put it on the scale, and they found that this stone weighed 3.61 grams. But it was passed off as, well, this is the standard. This is what you get. And so it was obviously an unscrupulous merchant that was cheating people by using differing weights and differing measures. We steal by cheating people. You know, and we say, well, like the insurance company. I mean, how many people try and cheat the insurance company? Insurance fraud, that's a big deal as people try and cheat insurance companies. And we think, well, it's an impersonal thing. It's just this blob. I'm not cheating my neighbor. I'm just cheating the insurance company, and they have so much money, so it doesn't really matter. It does matter. It's a big deal to God. You know, God doesn't say, well, you know, don't cheat Job. It's okay to cheat State Farm. He doesn't say that, right? It's a sin to do that. It's breaking the eighth commandment. And listen, God commands us to pay the people we owe. Pay the people we owe. Pay our debts. It's a terrible witness when Christians don't pay their debts. This is what James chapter 5, verse 4 says. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. That should strike fear into our hearts. This is what was going on when James wrote this. You had rich people oppressing poor people, and they would do the work in their fields, and then the rich people wouldn't pay them. And the Lord says, that has reached the ears of the Lord of armies, Jehovah Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of angel armies. We need to pay those we owe. Now, I had a guy that I knew, and he was racked up tons of debt on his credit cards, just tons of debt on his credit cards. I was thinking, I mean, you get to the point where you can't pay the minimum on there. And he was quickly approaching that point, and his daughter got married. And he threw this elaborate wedding for his daughter. She is worth it. It's like, well, she may be worth it, but you don't have the money for that. And what did he do with all those expenses? Put it on the credit card. And as soon as the wedding was finished, he declared bankruptcy. That is stealing. Just blatant stealing. You know you're not going to pay for any of this stuff. You don't have the means to pay for it, but you're going to do it anyway and declare bankruptcy. Hey, a great rule of thought. Don't buy what you can't afford. Don't buy what you can't afford. Don't get overextended. We steal by cheating people in business. All right, how about this one? The fourth way, And some of you are going to have to really think about this one, because you're going to say, Pastor Jeff, you're making this up, but I'm not. We steal by withholding marital love to our partner. You say, for sure you made that one up. I didn't make it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this is what the scripture says. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another. The word for depriving, used in the New American Standard, 1 Corinthians 7:5, means robbing. Stop robbing one another. Stop defrauding one another, except by agreement for a time that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, in marriage, God created marriage. He designed marriage. You shall not commit adultery in the sacredness of sex. God is saying, listen, for a husband and wife, I created this wonderful thing that's exclusive for the husband and the wife. It's the only time that this can happen, is the sexual relationship between a husband and wife. And God says, no, until you get married. And when you get married, he gives you a big green light and says, yes, because this is to be enjoyed, and it's to be enjoyed frequently. And stop depriving one another. Now, I understand there are times where physically there's some issues, and when you have, there's pregnancies and things like that, and, there's some physical issues. I get that. And it's never right for a husband to demand things of his wife, for a wife to demand things of her husband. But in the way God designed marriage, a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and a wife is to see to it that she respect her husband. And the way God wants it to be is there is a loving mutual respect and trust and love for one another, and it culminates in the act of marriage. And the Lord says, hey, don't withhold that. Don't use that as a weapon, because that's a form of stealing. And then how about number 5? We steal by failing to honor God with our wealth. We fail to honor God with our wealth. Honor the Lord, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. To put God first in your finances. If we fail to put God first in our finances, then we're dishonoring God. And more than just dishonoring God, we're stealing from God. The last book in the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And this is what the Lord says in the book of Malachi. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Well, no, Lord, a man would never rob God. I mean, why in the world would you even ask us that question? Will a man rob God? Well, you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is 10%. We read about the tithe way before the law came into being. We read about it in the book of Genesis, when Jacob had an encounter with the Lord at a place called Luz. He renamed it Bethel, the house of God. And he said, Lord, of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. A tithe, a tenth. That's what the word tithe means, tenth. And Jacob said, I'm going to give a tenth back to you. Why a tenth? Because it's just a way of expressing to God that it all belongs to God. Everything we have, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. It all belongs to God. And God is saying, listen, the tithe, the tenth is mine. And bring the tithe into the storehouse. And he goes on to say in Malachi, because they weren't doing that, hey, return to me and I will return to you. Well, how am I going to return to you, Lord? Well, why don't you start with your finances? Why don't you start with your giving? Why don't you quit robbing me? How about that? See, because we don't give the tithe, we bring the tithe. That belongs to God. The tithe is the Lord. It would be like if you're an employer and you say, well, I'm not gonna pay my employees. It's James 5:4. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your field and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. It's the same thing. We're robbing God. We're not giving to God. And the Lord says, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing so great that you can't even contain it. It will just overflow you. And remember this about giving to the Lord, honoring the Lord with your wealth. It's not God's program to keep you impoverished. It's God's way to bless you, to pour it out on you. Because if he says, if you'll honor me with your wealth, what will I do? I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing so great on you that you can't even contain it. But now I want you to think about this. If you're robbing God, how's he gonna bless you? I mean, if you were robbing your earthly father and he saw you every time you went into his bedroom and opened up his wallet and pulled out money and robbed him, would he wanna bless you? Would he wanna do for you? Would he feel good about you?
We all know that the answer to the question is no, he would not. A poignant conclusion to this foundational truth about God's will for our lives, that we live lives that not only don't steal, but we don't have a desire to steal. Thou shalt not kill is the 8th commandment, and today you heard part 1 of this lesson called What's Yours is Mine. It's from Pastor Jeff's new 10-lesson series, Written in Stone, a study of the 10 Commandments. It's a comprehensive look at the guardrails that God has put up for us to know if we're going to live lives that bless us and glorify Him. In the series, you'll discover the ultimate truths for daily living so we can be an example to others and show our love of God by obeying His truth for our good. The series, Written in Stone, is our thank you gift for your support from His Heart this month of any amount. You can get yours on a USB flash drive, CDs, DVDs, or an immediate digital download. Just call 866-40-BIBLE to get yours. That's 866-40-BIBLE. Or go online to make your gift at fromhisheart.org and then request the series Written in Stone. We couldn't be here without the support of those who listen to From His Heart, are blessed by the lessons, and then want to give back to the world by supporting From His Heart. So, thank you for your helpful gift today, and thank you for listening to these messages this month that can change your life and heart to the sweeter life of obedience to Him. We also hope that when you do visit our website anytime, you'll listen to the daily Real Hope Minute from Pastor Jeff. You can sign up for the weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter you'll get from Pastor Jeff every Friday morning in your inbox, or you can download an MP3 of any broadcast that you may have missed. Plus, you can easily join Pastor Jeff on social media channels and have comments, commentary, and encouragement throughout the week for you there. The web address again, fromhisheart.org. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be back here tomorrow when Pastor Jeff will continue right there, and after a short review, we'll have the conclusion to this lesson entitled, What's Yours is Mine. That's on Wednesday, when we'll again open up the Word of God and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that. Go to fromhisheart.org.